The following presentation was recorded at the 1997 Teachers Workshop at Faith Builders. More information on Faith Builders events at fbep.org.
Makes my hair like silver at the age of 38? Oh, that is a story, stranger, that I seldom e'er relate. For the horror of those moments I never shall forget. And when I think about them, I shudder even yet. It happened way back in the 90s, when Billy, who now is 10 and strong as a branch of hickory, was just a little shaver then, just a rolling ball of mischief who laughed in childish glee whenever I tickled his dimple or bounced him on my knee. That season I well remember, we were camped down at the bend where the timber line commences and the walls of the canyon end. Just a cozy homemade party made up, as you shall see, of Billy and Billy's mother, her brother George, and me. That morning I well remember, we were staying near the camp. There had been a mountain shower and the air was chill and damp. Too cold for the long excursion that we had planned to take far up the side of the mountain to the run of the rock-bound lake. When the call was made for dinner, we gathered round the board. All were there but Billy. Billy! Billy couldn't be found. We searched the side of the mountain, the trails that led to the plain. We looked high and low for Billy. We looked, but looked in vain. We searched the edge of the canyon through the thickets of dense mesquite, and there in the yielding surface were prints of his tiny feet. We stopped. We looked at each other, perplexed and at lost, till my wife looked over the canyon and quietly pointed across. We followed her gaze o'er the chasm, and there at last we spied the figure of sturdy Billy on the opposite mountain side. He was trudging along the mountain, a resolute bit of a chap, one hand thrust into his pocket, the other swinging his cap. I glanced at my wife and noticed her lips were moving. And then she reached out her arms toward Billy far off across the glen. She uttered a scream of horror, of terror. Her face grew deathly white. I looked where she was pointing. Sir, I'll ne'er forget that sight. Far into the narrow pathway from its craven in the hill crept a ravenous mountain lion straight toward little Bill. The beast was angrily lashing its tail from side to side, the hard fangs that glistened from the jaws that were open wide. One expected Billy trudged along the trail, straight toward the beast that waited to rend him tooth and nail. I stood transfixed with horror, but my wife with ready wit caught up a long-range rifle and sprang to my side with it. She quickly measured the distance as near as the eye could see, then changed the sights a trifle and handed the gun to me. But I knew my hand was shaking, so I passed it on to George and pointed with trembling finger to the scene across the gorge. For years we had camped together, and I had yet to see a man whose eye was truer, a shot more sure than he. But he handed the gun back, saying, "This shot belongs to you. There is only one chance in a thousand. God grant your aim be true." The cat crept nearer, the sinewy, furious thing. I saw it measured the distance. I saw it prepare to spring, and I think my heart stopped beating as I stood there, palsied, mute, till I heard a voice say somewhere, "Shoot, Henry, shoot, shoot, for Billy's sake, Henry, shoot." That cry awoke my senses, the wheels of action caught. I threw the gun to my shoulder and fired as quick as a thought. Then a mist swept o'er my vision and everything grew dark. And I had no knowledge whether I'd hit or missed the mark. But I plunged into the canyon and ran for years and years through tangles of apprehension and torrents of raging fears. And running, I prayed that somehow might yet be the will of him who maketh a sparrow to rescue our little Bill. And when at last I saw him, the little fellow sat with his chubby fist entangled in the fur of the monstrous cat. And talking in childish prattle, I heard him chiding say, "Oh, you great big naughty kitty, why didn't you come and play?" Then he cried when at last he saw me, "Oh, Daddy, I was glad you come. I was hunting for you and Mama, and I guess I was lost at some. But I found this nice big kitty. It was coming to play with me. But he can't play now, Daddy, 'cause something's hurted he." I picked him up and took him safely back to his mother's arms. And though she kissed him fondly, I couldn't help but see that her gaze was not on Billy, but riveted on me. Keenly she looked at me, and though she did not speak, I noticed the tears were springing and stealing down her cheek. And then she brought a little mirror and held it before my eyes, and I looked within it. I gasped in sheer surprise, for what I saw reflected in unrelenting truth was a crown of 80 winters above a face of youth. My hair in those few moments had changed. It was even so, from black as a raven's feather to white as the drifted snow. Sir Ike. Creative literature is compelling and captivating. You probably would not have wanted me to stop in the middle. I tried it with my students. I'm keenly aware of the fact that I'm young. I obviously look a lot younger than the other speakers. And I am. So I do ask an interest in your prayers and trust together we can glean some inspiration to encourage our students to creativity. Now, a lot that was shared already, if you were, I'm sure you weren't thinking quite down the channels I was. You weren't paying attention for maybe the same things I was in the last few days as well. Many, many, many thoughts were shared already as to how to encourage and help your children to be creative. So some of what we say, you may have at least come across in some form or another before. I'd like some of your thoughts, your comments as we go along, or questions. I'm not really sure what comes to your mind when we say creativity. What comes to your mind when we say creativity? Encouraging creativity. What do you think we're going to talk about? Encouraging. See, you're probably going to tend to think of what is special to you. What is your unique interest? If you're an artist, you might be listening to some things related to art. Or maybe if you're not an artist, you'll be listening. For sure. Really be listening for some help. Maybe if you enjoy writing, maybe that's kind of what came to your mind. Maybe you enjoy design or architectural work or engineering. Your mind kind of went to that. And so I wasn't really sure what specifics you were hoping for or looking for. We're going to talk in general of creativity, a few things, try to define creativity for one thing, and then discuss the need for creativity, why encourage students to be creative, how do we help students to be creative, and then we will look at a few specific subjects and look at a few things maybe related to each subject and how we can encourage them to be creative. First of all, as far as a definition for creativity, obviously the root word is create or creative. Why? Can you see that okay in the back? All right. Going by definitions from the dictionary, creativity or create means having the power or quality of creating. And the second one is obviously the important one, or the one we'll focus on the most. It's resulting from originality of thought or expression. Something original. How much have you ever said that was original with you? I mean, it was original thought. It was an original insight or invention or picture. Copying over something is not originality, obviously. It's not original. Being able to create or make something that is original. All right, now, what is the relationship between being creative and imagination? So we kind of move away from that word, don't we? Imagination, when we think of a person's imagination, we usually think of a child. Highly imaginative. I mean, they can have a farm all over the floor, can't they? And it's a major farm, and they're farming for real. And they're imagining what this is like. I really wonder, my daughter's almost 2. I wonder, how do they imagine? You know, what makes them imagine? What are they thinking when they imagine? You know, the baby cries, or the baby wants Pepsi, or needs a hot dog. well, what's going through their mind is hard to understand, but they're imagining, and the definition of an imagination says forming mental images, it's mental, it's in the mind, images or concepts of what is not actually present to the senses. All right, so if a child is farming, yes, the tractors are present, but not the soil, not the corn, not the sounds. They're making them. And they have it in their mind. It's an image that's going through their mind. Is that creativity? Can it turn into creativity? Yes. All right. And so we maybe could say that creativity is disciplined imagination. It is useful imagination. See, our definition for creative was resulting. It is having the power or quality of creating, of doing something, that you have something when you're done. It wasn't just in the mind. It didn't stay in the mind. And so the challenge of a teacher is to capture what we're going to say is a natural inclination to be imaginative. It's there. We'll look at some of that a little later when you think it isn't there. But we're going to assume at this point that creativity or imagination is there, and your job is to take that and turn that into something that can be useful, something that's creative, something that is worth something to themselves and to other people. And so the third one there, creativity, as we're going to use as a very, very general definition, we're going to say that creativity is the quality of being able to create originally. We'll just kind of throw those a few ideas together to use that as our definition for creativity. It's the ability or the quality of being able to create originally. Why encourage creativity?
Turn the light off a little bit. I meant to put a paper there to black out what I had written down below.
Why encourage creativity? I was glad I was assigned this months on ahead, even though I didn't really get busy till obviously rather recently. Your teachers, right? That's how we do. But at least it gave a lot of time to think, and I really grappled with that for a while. Why teach students to be creative? Why? Give me a couple reasons.
Satisfaction.
All right. Personal satisfaction. It's not wrong. That's not selfish. Can be. It could become selfish. But satisfaction in itself is not selfish. All right. Personal satisfaction. Why else? All right. Okay. Very good. There's a lot in the world that discourages. There can be a lot in your classroom, other students and yourself, that can discourage somebody from being creative and squash it very quickly, maybe even unintentionally. All right.
One way we reflect that being creative is being in God's image.
All right. All right. We're made in God's image. We'll look at that. We could talk a long time about how creative God is. And God was as He created the world. Tremendous. All right, why else?
It's useful for problem solving.
Okay, useful for problem solving. Now we're getting to something that's really practical. Very worthwhile. See, we as teachers must look beyond just, that way they can decorate their home. They'll be really good at landscaping. Or, give them a good paying job. Which is all true, and we'll look at that briefly. But there's a lot deeper reasons for helping students to be creative and nurturing that and encouraging that. Problem solving. Any other comments or things to add?
It's to develop skills.
All right, helps to develop skills. Yes.
Some things that have been created are very useful to mankind.
All right. The useful inventions. Invent anything? Kind of tough. At least to be really original. That's right. Look around. What wasn't invented originally with somebody? Everything. Everything you set your eyes on was an original idea of somebody. And built on other people's and previous knowledge and experience, of course. Any other thing to share? All right, open your Bibles to Genesis 1. Genesis 1. I'd like to just read a few verses. Genesis 1, verse 21 says, "And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good." God created, and you know that. I don't believe in progressive evolution or any form of it. I was impressed when I read that. Couldn't enumerate them all. He just said, every living creature and every plant. God created in those 6 days. Why did God, and we'll maybe pick up on this later, but I want you to think of this. Why did God create such a wide variety of things that are not all useful to man? You go to a tropical forest, and there's millions, literally millions of living things and plants that they have not identified with. Speculated that could be up to 10 to 15 million. Obviously, they're not very practical to man. Why did God use such variety? Why was God so creative? Think about that. All right, over to verse 26, the same chapter. "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Likeness versus image. There's a difference, I think, seem to be, in the Greek, or Hebrew rather, rendering. When we think of image, that's profile, how you look, physical features. But he said also after our likeness, what we are like. And so man has in his possessions many, many things, characteristics, emotions, abilities that are reflective of God, but in a lot smaller way. Is that a good reason to be creative? Is it godly to be creative? Sure. It is godlike to be creative. It's a good reason. I think that should be inspiring as we teach students and think of creativity and how we can encourage our students to create originally. We are helping those children to do something that God did. There was no life before on the earth. All of that was very, very original. But back to the question of just mind-boggling things in creation. There's approximately 1 million identified insects. 1 million. But they think there's between 2 and 10 million that have not been identified yet. Insects. Now, those of you who teach any science know what the characteristics of an insect are. It's rather narrow, isn't it? You know, so many feet and antennas and three body parts. Insects. Up to 10 million. Galaxies. Man, obviously, of course, without the aid of telescopes and what they use to see beyond our galaxy, would have thought that all the stars that they see, you know, that's kind of the end of it. Yeah, there's a few more beyond that maybe, but, you know, you maybe kind of in their mind pictured the scope of the universe. Well, man has found that all the stars that we have seen, unless you live it up in the south where you can see out of our galaxy, I think we can from up here, maybe one spot. But anyhow, man has found that all the stars that we see when we just walk out at night and look around belong only to our galaxy. And now are saying there's up to 1 billion other galaxies, possibly with solar systems, possibly with life. That's what they say. Why did God create that? Useful to us. Neither did God randomly create. He didn't just randomly create insects, randomly create animals. But he did it very carefully, and one thing that I think shows that is obviously the food chain. It's amazing. The food chain in every habitat. There's a unique food chain. It takes the right animal that can live in that environment. It takes the right appetites, the right stomachs, to make a food chain work. And nothing gets imbalanced in nature. Man is, of course, confused with that. But I think we can say that God certainly created a perfect food chain. All right.
That's on to point number one. It is part of the being like God. It's godly. Second one, it brings added dimension and potential to life.
Proper creativity and enjoying creativity adds life to life. It'd probably be worth our time for 5 minutes, for 1 minute, just to imagine what would life be like if people wouldn't be creative. We wouldn't progress, would we? Now, we wanted to progress. If man would not have had the capacity to think of brand new ideas, complete new ways of doing things, things that were flashed in their imagination, turned into a creative piece, we wouldn't go anywhere. We wouldn't progress. Personally, neither would mankind have progressed. It's kind of hard to imagine what that would have been like because you'd have to go way back, I guess, to the garden and imagine just as primitive as you can imagine, however primitive that was. And so, back to this thing of enjoyment, like that was mentioned, and I said it is not selfish. It is not selfish to enjoy a fulfilled life. And a person will not enjoy a fulfilled life without at least a certain amount of creativity. Or it's boring. It's monotonous. It's repetitious. Every day is like the other day. No new ideas. No new ways of doing things. A way of overcoming problems. That is not wrong. Added dimension in cooking. A lot of variety. New recipes, new ideas, new ways of doing it. Sewing. Your garden, landscaping, architectural work, engineering, design. Those are things that make our life enjoyable, that are in the scope of God's will and what God blesses. Now, God finally has chosen to make our life fulfilling. See, sometimes in our emphasis, we emphasize that our fulfillment in life is in our identity in God. And that's right. Our deepest fulfillment, our deepest needs, our longings are met in Christ. But we don't throw everything else away. We don't throw friends away, people away, creativity, and just say, you know, it's God. It's God in my life. That's all I care about. It's all that matters in life. It's God, my relationship with God. I find everything in God. Well, included in God meeting our needs is in this. In a fulfilled life is the ability to enjoy variety and creativity. So I think let's remember that is right. That's perfectly natural. It can become selfish. When is it selfish? When is creativity wrong? Maybe the creativity wasn't wrong, but the motives were wrong. When? When it's selfish. I said that. But when else? How could you be tempted to be creative? But it wouldn't really be right to pursue that. Yes?
Creative torture.
Okay. Creative torture. Wow. Some original ideas come up through the years, right? Verbally, physically. It's true. How about for us? What about when it feeds our pride? Can creativity feed our pride? It can. You know, you just hope people see that. Oh, that's my idea. It's neat. People walk into your classroom and say, wow, where'd you get that idea? Oh, I mean, you're modest at that point, obviously. Made it up. Wow, that's great. That's good. Never saw anything like it. Was it wrong to do that? No, but you could have done it for a wrong reason. You could have. Test your attitudes. Test your reasons for being creative yourself and inspiring it in your students. Could be wrong reasons. Oh, you just hope the parents see that. Gave a little direction to that art class, and boy, it turned out some beautiful projects. And, you know, we look for that coming our way. All right. More directly in developing creativity in students, maybe this doesn't sound real practical, and it is not real practical as far as what you do in school per subject. I think an important one is to develop the student's ability to meet various needs in their world. It takes a creative person to meet the needs of other people because nobody's alike. Their needs are unique. People need to be related to differently. Maybe the way you handle one child, maybe the way you handle one situation, maybe you handle the way you handle one parent is not suitable for another situation. And you say, well, that's not children, but your children will be adults someday, won't they? Right. We want our children to develop to be adults that are able to be creative, to meet the needs in their world and in their calling. That's an important one. It's more important than some of the others maybe that we looked at. It's deeper. It should give us a little more drive to remember that the level of creativity that we help our children to develop is going to affect their usefulness to God. Well, it'll affect their usefulness to God. That is responsibility. I don't know how much that weighs on you. Depending how long you taught. Probably the longer you teach, the more that weighs on you. That what you are doing and the character and the creativity that you are planting and forming into these children is going to someday bear fruit. It's going to determine, to a degree at least, how useful they are to God. It's a tremendous responsibility. So creativity is not just for fun. It's also for usefulness. All right, maybe somewhat closely related to that is the next point. To develop the ability to present truth, verbally and written, in a colorful and inspiring way, and I've added reducing redundancy, and we'll just look at that maybe a little later. To develop students that will be able to later in life present truth in an interesting, inspiring way. Make hard truths, deep truths, obscure ideas easy to understand. That's a lot of a teacher's job, isn't it? So one reason to encourage your students to be creative is to produce teachers. Don't really use that as a reason to them. That's not a good reason to most students, just like certain subjects. Let me just give an example quickly. When we pray to God, do we ask God for more grace and mercy in our life? Is that a right idea? Do we ask God to give us more of His grace and mercy? Come on, a little more. Is that right thinking? Okay. Obviously, I'm saying not. When we pray, we do ask God, though, to open our lives and to help us to open our lives more fully to His grace and His mercy through surrender, through commitment. Our will's involved, but we ask God to help us to be willing and to help us do it and show us ways that we're not doing it. Now, would your 15-year-old person in school understand that? Got it. Yeah. When I pray, don't pray that God gives more grace, but that I open my life up more to God. Maybe not. Let me just use a quick overhead that maybe helps with help, just to show that creativity and communicating truth can be helpful. See if we can get this up a little better. I don't know if you can see all of it. You can see most of it. Let's say you help your students envision God's mercy and God's grace in a container. We can't limit God's grace, I know. But God's grace and mercy is pouring into the life and the heart of man. Now, if you ever used a funnel, which I'm sure you all did, the restrictive part is not the top of the funnel, is it? I'm just not getting the job done big enough, so I go for a funnel with it. It's bigger at the top. No. The problem, the restrictive part, is always at the bottom of the funnel. I think I can help put a picture of a deeper truth very simply into the life of a person that maybe has a hard time understanding the deep truth or is young. So when we pray, we're not asking God to pour faster or to use a bigger container or a bigger funnel at the top, because God said that God would help us understand anything in our lives that is hindering the bottom of the funnel. Anything in our life that is hindering us experiencing the power, the grace, the mercy, or the goodness of God in our life. And so, again, a reason to develop creativity is to help children be able to present truth as they grow older, as they work with various needs, various responsibilities, that they are able to meet those in a creative way, in an effective way. So it's saying on the bottom, I just thought was a very, very interesting way of saying what we sometimes so redundantly say, so repetitiously say, gather all the time to explain our character, what God wants to do with our character. God is more concerned about our character than our comfort. His goal is not to pay for us physically, but to perfect us spiritually. That's a very, very creative way of saying something. It communicates. It helps us to understand. And you can make a lot of conclusions from that. God may build our character through discomfort. Is that as colorful as saying it? No. On and on and on. If we ask God to build our character, we don't know what we're asking for. You hear that sometimes, right? Or to build our patience. He might bring something into your life that is not fun. That's true. It's such a very common way of saying it. But God is more concerned about our character than our comfort. Good literary technique as well. All right, moving off of reasons to develop creativity. Find out what's next. Looking more directly at encouraging creativity. Be a creative teacher. Very obvious. By example, it's mentioned already many, many times, you've, I'm sure, been inspired through this week to be a creative teacher. Now, what are some practical ways, quickly, to be a creative teacher? What are ways that you can encourage your students to be creative by your own creativity? What are some areas? Quickly.
Writing.
All right, your own writing skills. Is that what you're saying? In your own writing skills, in your example of writing. All right, what else?
Respond to impulse.
All right. Respond to impulse that you see in the classroom. All right. See how you respond. Watching that. Take a lesson from it. How else? All right, hands-on activity. Excellent. Ways to inspire and encourage creativity is when you do something that's very creative. And they look at that and that just gets them all excited. You know that. A simple thing as what your room looks like is important. That's pretty disappointing if a student comes in to your room the first day of school and they look around and a little poster on this big wall, a few bought cutout letters. Sorry to use those, but not all of those. On this wall, and they walk in, they're going to be disappointed. It doesn't look very creative, but you're going to expect them to be creative. Oh, boy, when they come to an art picture, they're going to have to do it. Come to writing. Bring it, put the pressure on. Be creative. Think of ideas. And they look around. Your own ideas. Where are yours? So the simple decoration of your room can be an encouragement to your students' creativity. Lesson presentation. If you teach a lot of classes, you can get in a rut so easily. To be efficient. And it is. It is efficient as far as time. I struggle with that tremendously. I teach in 5 grades. It is so easy to have a systematic way of teaching those 5 math classes so I can get done in 1 hour. And I go to my 4 English classes. I can do that in 1 hour. Can you work creativity into that? Well, yes, you can. You can a certain amount. Bruce Wilkinson said on his one set of tapes, Dr. Bruce Wilkinson, he's president of Walk Through the Bible series, he said, you can be exciting every time. You can. He insisted on that. He's very experienced. You can be exciting every time in your classes and even in what is basically routine. You can be exciting. Communicates. It encourages the student to creativity. So class and lesson presentation. Is another important one. Any other thing that you have under being a creative teacher?
Variety into
routine life. As often as you can work that in. Just throw your schedule aside even for a profitable thing, occasionally. Have them with you. All right, being a creative teacher by your lesson presentation, by the way your room looks, many, many others. All right, going to the next one. Be highly enthusiastic about each student's particular interest or gift or gifts. Be highly enthusiastic. About your student's gift or gifts. Now, that was mentioned already. I was glad for what was said. Look for your student's unique ability and encourage that. Prompt that. Maybe I'll discuss this now. A study that I read about just last night, I think it was. One study showed that the number one problem among students was confidence. Confidence. I'd like to just discuss that whole thing a little bit. And again, someone's mentioned already, and I'm glad for what was said. Your students' confidence. Why is creativity such a sensitive issue with a student? Why is it so hard for them to have confidence? I'd like you to say. All right, very good. Makes them vulnerable. You know, how many would like to come up here and just illustrate, if I'd ask you, just to illustrate a truth? Just come up and draw. Or draw a picture of something. You're extremely vulnerable. I'm not going to give you a picture, or wouldn't be creative. You're not copying. Wouldn't be creative. And when you're asking your students to create, you're not giving them an exact picture, an exact example for them to follow. You're asking for them to be vulnerable. I mean, you can be laughed at, really quickly. It can look really out of place. I think that's an important thing to remember. Being creative is highly personal. Can we say that? It's very personal. You're asking them to express something from within, and they realize that it can show that, you know, I'm just not gifted. I don't know how to write well. I don't have a good vocabulary. You know, I just can't make that pencil go where I want it to go. And the teacher's going to know it. I mean, here it is. It's obvious. Remember that. It gives you some sympathy. Do not walk around and say, nothing on your paper yet. Come on. Just draw. Simple. Don't you know how to draw? I mean, just draw. Well, as soon as they draw, that's self-expression. That's something that's from them. It's very, very personal. If you see something negative about it. Another statement I came across related to writing. In most of us, more anxiety is generated by creating or by contemplating creating than is generated by not creating. I'll read that again. In most of us, more anxiety is generated by creating or by contemplating creating than is generated by not creating. So if you don't like anxiety or your students, they're not going to do anything. I mean, it gives some anxiety. We're not getting anything done. You know, I've been sitting here 10 minutes. And we're supposed to do a drawing. I haven't done anything. I don't have anything to show for it. I'm supposed to be writing about what happened yesterday. The most exciting thing that happened yesterday, it's a composition with no forethought. I'm supposed to be writing. Well, that's anxiety, but it's worse yet to write. Or they would write. More anxiety is caused by writing than just not doing the job. So remember that. Remember that when you feel like putting the pressure on. Be sensitive to your students. Here's a statement that I got out of Alan Loy McGinnis, his book, Bringing the Best Out of the Best in People. He says, if they are going anywhere near where you want them to go, climb on other people's bandwagon. Now, that doesn't apply to every situation. There's some truth in that. Back to the thought of being enthusiastic, highly enthusiastic about each student's particular gift. If your student is going where you want them to go, even close, be there to coach it. Be there to direct it. Be there to guide it. Capitalize on small, I'm going to just throw this all under this point. Capitalize on their small accomplishment. We talked of success already today. Capitalize on small. I mean, the first sentence of the composition. Compliment it if you can. Or at least encourage them for having started. The first sketches of their drawing. Might not know what it's going to be. But, oh, you got started. Great, I'm anxious to see what you're going to do. Now walk around. What can you ever make out of that? Maybe you ought to start over. Whew. Not going to start over. They don't want to start over. You just killed that little bit of effort that was put into doing what you said. And remember, it's causing them anxiety a lot. And really, students are nervous. How many of you ever walked around in your classroom in an art period or composition? And as you walked around, they just nicely just slid their hand right over their paper. They do that in your school? They do. It is anxiety. Be sensitive to that. I think that is so important. If you're not, you will not encourage them. You do just the opposite. Look for their enthusiasm. Or we could say capitalize. Capitalize on their enthusiasm. At the smallest amount of enthusiasm that you feel out of them as the project moves along, as you see anything in their life, a little bit of enthusiasm showing. Grab it. Capitalize on that. Encourage it. That builds more enthusiasm. Students are looking for success, for what is sometimes called accomplishment feedback. A which simply means that they want to have their capacity stretched. They want to go on. They want to feel successful. Ultimately, they do. But they need to have regular successes. Halfway through the drawing, halfway through the science experiment, halfway through the demonstration, halfway through the cultural project, halfway through the art class, the painting. They need that. They need successful feeling. Accomplishment, feedback, as they go, as they progress, continually assure them of success, wherever you can, honestly. Honestly. And if you try hard enough, you can find it, I'm sure. Now, maybe before we discuss specific subjects, which we're just going to look at a number of subjects in closing, I would like to discuss this briefly. Are all students creative? I thought I was out of a job for a little bit yesterday. I was feeling good. Ed said that you cannot teach creativity. Whew. I mean, what's there to talk about? You cannot teach creativity. Is that what we're talking about? I was elated. So I read the title again and it said encouraging. Obviously a different. Encouraging. You have another comment on that, Ed? You said you cannot teach creativity.
I didn't realize I made it that strong, but it's very difficult.
Okay, very difficult. Okay. So it's difficult, but it's not impossible, apparently. But I think we're going to look at it basically like this. Most students, are all children, let's start with that, all children have some imagination. Now, some a lot more than others. Some children grow up and they are bored just continually. Some of you are parents. Have a child like that? Brothers or sisters, siblings, somebody? Nieces, nephews? They're just bored. I mean, they can have a sandbox. They can't build castles. They can't have a mine. They have tractors, but they can't have a field. There are some who are not very imaginative, but it's somewhere. I think when Ed said yesterday that creativity, that success, the desire to be successful is in every child somewhere. But you have to dig a little deep sometimes. That's good. Same with creativity. It's somewhere. But sometimes you might have to dig a little deeper to find that creativity. Right? So look for it. Look for creativity in your students. Look for one area that they at least have some self-expression, some ability to put something down that's original with them. Some have many. Some people are naturally creative, and then they may be good at many different ways, in many different areas. Well, fine. Try to find one, at least. All right, going to specific subjects. I would like you, first of all, to share what you struggle with the most in your school as far as creativity.
Science class.
Science class. Okay. Being creative in science class yourself and encouraging creativity. Now, maybe I'm confusing being creative yourself. Hope you understand the relationship. But being creative yourself as a teacher and in encouraging that in your students. We are focusing some on that. All right, science class. What else? Yes?
English essays.
English essays. Any composition? Writing? Stories? Poems? Well, that would be first, maybe. All right, what else?
PE on a rainy day.
All right. Falls on the teacher, doesn't it? It really falls on the teacher. Especially when you have a small school. No real playroom or gym? What else? Art class? Anybody struggle with art class? Creativity in art class? Teach somebody for 5 years. You'll be struggling. You run out of ideas after a while. All right. Maybe you have some questions. Let's start with writing. Now, let me just give this one example. I don't know if we have time, but let me just give this one thing. And remind you to be balanced in your encouragement and creativity. All right, why did you say what you did as far as creativity? You're your problem. Because that's your weak area, maybe. That's not your thing. So don't expect your students that it's their thing to be a writer. And they should. They should love it. Period. They should love writing poetry. Because it's your thing doesn't mean it's everybody else's. The Bible makes that clear. He gave a variety of gifts. And your students have a variety of gifts. Maybe you struggle with science. And so, the student then, that isn't very good in science, that is good in science, might suffer because you don't develop any creativity and any opportunity for expression of creativity in that class. But be careful to be balanced. A teacher, one time, you know, teachers do, they talk about teaching all the time. Always something to talk about when you're teachers. They don't even really know each other. And he was saying how they did a major research article. I mean, they gave like half the year or a semester to do it. And they poured themselves into it. They had all the footnotes and the table of contents, the whole work. Well, I admit writing isn't really my thing. I enjoy science a little more. I was discussing about doing some lab work and biology and chemistry, and he said, huh, that's a good idea. He said, I don't think I did one experiment all year long. Well, I thought that was pretty interesting. See, he was imbalanced, wasn't he? So the student who had the potential to be encouraged in the creativity in science was left out. And your boys, especially, weren't they? Boys were really left out because they love ideas, how to do things, especially in the realm of science. All right, back to writing. Any questions, first of all, or a specific aspect of writing that you want to, how do I encourage a child? And then I hope for some help. Essays. All right, you mentioned essays. What can you do to encourage your students to write a good essay? Write one yourself. How do you like that? If you have a problem getting your students writing an essay continually, you probably aren't very good at writing essays yourself. I know what that's like. That is work. That is work. And don't tell your students, I'd be glad to write one if you would do all my work. You know, just like, I don't write any essays because I don't have time. But you have time and that's your job. You can't write all the essays, all the poems, all the assignments, not if you teach a couple grades especially, but write some at least. What a way to come to class. What a way to encourage your creativity to stand up front and read them a story that you wrote that was about you and then ask them to do it. That's fair. That's fair. If you never write, is it fair to ask them to and expect them to be creative and kind of be hard on them when they're not? So give them a model. Be a model yourself. Give them some help. Now, this depends what it depends a lot what age you're working with. When they're older, Prince was mentioned that he had him write 150 words. Did you say every week, John? But that wasn't to third, fourth graders. No. All right. See, it wouldn't be fair to do that at too young of an age. So this is a little hard to talk about in writing when you were talking about from first grade through high school. But in the younger grades, you need to take them by the hand, step by step to write. I mean, that's just the way it is for most students. You must get them going just to tell them how to write a book report, all right? Write a book report. And the way you write a book report is you try to, you read the book, and then you try to evaluate phases of the person's life. Their childhood, their teenage, their marriage life, any problems, and you write a summary. Okay? Everybody understand? That child will be confused. One excellent way of doing it is take a book that you read yourself and show them how to do it. Fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh and eighth. Take a book. I read the book, The Young Salesman. And so, together in class, we try to discuss the phases of the person's life. Now, if a person brings you a book, a student brings you a book and said, I really don't know where to begin. Don't go tell them to go back. Did you read it? Did you read the model in the book? Did you think about it? How much did you try? You may ask those questions to the right student. But be careful. Be careful. Remember that when they write, being vulnerable. Maybe you could go over the titles. Let me just read a few titles from this book. Chapter titles that can help you zero in quickly with your student what is important. What do you think is important in a few of these titles? On Board the Arcturus, it was a boat. The First Day in New York. Scott Learned a Lesson. Scott Finds a Relative and a Place. An Old Acquaintance. A New Home. At Niagara Falls, The Poor Inventor, trapper, the secondhand suit. Did you think of one? What might be one that, not knowing the book, you can't read all the books. If you have 15 students doing a research or a essay, you can't do them all. You can't read all the books. You don't even scan them all. Which title stood out? Go to that chapter. Yes. A New Home. That was a life-changing experience. So by scanning the book and writing a book report, help your children realize that you are summarizing life-changing experiences or phases of their life. And help them do it. Help them do it at least the first time. When they're 9th and 10th, they should not need that help. When they're in 5th and 6th grade, they could. I have one 5th grader last year. Not a writer. Not a writer. So he brought a book back. This is what he wants to write on, but he had no idea how to even begin, even though I went all over it in class. Thought I did. Or they can get the title, who wrote it, publisher, where to get it, maybe even. But how do you summarize? And you know, you can, if you don't give help, you can come up in, you can receive an ungradable paper. I've seen them. You can't even grade it fairly. I mean, to say F, never going to want to write again. That's saying that all your self-expression, all that you put into all your creativity and your originality was worth nothing. You failed. You are a failure. It's not just saying you failed. Really, it can be saying you are a failure. It's pretty serious to say that. You are a failure. Again, it's personal. That still may happen. Any other questions as far as writing? I know we're rushing it. Well, we're almost out of time and a few other things we wanted to talk about. I think the biggest thing I can emphasize is lead them through it and be an encouragement. Be an encouragement. When you see they just have it started, take it and feed it. Just boost them. Say, that's really a good thought here. I like these sentences, but they're all the same length. Maybe we could put them together. What conjunction could we put between these two things? Well, that's a good adjective there. I like that. Great. Hey, this is going to be interesting. Feed it. Pick out something good. What a difference that is versus saying, Johnny, what did we learn about sentence variety? And then read it. Jack was 6 years old when his father died. He was very sad when he was buried. And you, da, 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 and you emphasize his poor writing techniques. He's going to be depressed. He might cry, as he might, or she. It can happen very quickly, especially in composition when they're kind of frustrated. So find the good points and kind of lead them through. All right, on to another subject, science. Well, we could talk a long time about science. How do you help your students be creative in science? Give me a suggestion. What goes through your mind? Not being creative necessarily yourself. Obviously, by being creative is one. But how can you allow your students to express creativity? Yes? All right, excellent. Have them demonstrate with a drawing. You can demonstrate almost anything with a drawing. The truth we were talking about before, demonstrated poorly or well, with just a few drawings, things they're familiar with. All right, so have them demonstrate somehow a concept, or do an experiment. Students love to do that. They love to do that. They love to work with things, reactions, things that make noise, something that they can really get their hands on. So meaningful. All right, have them do that. But coach them, give them some ideas, especially what grade, depending what grade they're in. Science projects, like for a home and school meeting. An excellent way to help them be creative. So, all right, this year we've studied magnets, and we've studied electricity, and we've studied the Earth's structure, on and on and on, light. Take one of those things and demonstrate it without too much help from their parents. Hey, they have to be original. Hopefully they're original. Encourage them to be original. Don't just grab an encyclopedia or childcraft and find the dam and do it. You know, it's not very being very creative or very original, even though they may do a good job. I don't know. We don't have a lot of time to talk about that. Any other questions or comments? How to help your students be creative? There's many, many, many other ways. social studies, cultural projects. Have them do a cultural project. Have them demonstrate or make a model of something from the past for history or a certain culture. Have them dress up their dolls or something. Or make it up. Have them demonstrate that. What do you think they look like? What do you think they played with? What toys do you think they played with? What would it fit into their culture? Maybe bring in food yourself. Let them give suggestions as to what foods you could bring in. Let them do it. Let them make it. Art class, yet briefly, very briefly. Just an encouragement to, again, give direction. I hope that's come through. In encouraging creativity, you must give enough of direction. If you do that one time a year to just say, draw a picture, that's enough. It's enough. Because that's drawing totally from out of their imagination. At least say, take a Bible verse and illustrate it. That's a good one to do once or twice a year. Or once. It gives them somewhere to start with. But to just say out of the blue, all right, just draw a picture. What would you do? What if I give everybody 1 half hour to draw a picture? You'd go scrambling for a book, I bet, wouldn't you? Something to look out of. It's not original then. And you're not really being creative unless you do some adjustments, which you can do. Give them something to start with. Just for a real quick example, just made an overhead of something for the lower grades that you could give them. Run like that. It gives them an idea of where to go from. Gives them an idea of what to do. But they can develop it from there. They can be original. They can be creative. You can load that with trees. You can put cows. You can put fences. You can make this water. You can put a duck. You can make waves. You can draw people. But be careful what you do when you come walking around. Encourage your creativity. Don't criticize it.
For the most current Faith Builders recordings, visit christianlearning.org. And for more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.